Hey everybody, it's Diva Mixon with the 4th Street Sports Show. Just want to let everybody know that we are currently editing and creating a new intro and outro to the show. Thanks so much for understanding. We are in this transition period, so we're going to create a new intro and outro. Thanks for understanding. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. It's been a month, Jackson, since we've been on here, but you know, there's nothing better than podcasting with a new side of the year, which means, drumroll please, it's football season! Let's go!
Football season! Let's go! Covering football. The gridiron. We're covering the gridiron. Will Hall's third year. Frank Gore Jr., Billy Wiles, Holman Edwards, Zach Wilkie, Jake Lang. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Oh, the Lang show.
Exhilarating. I'm telling you, I have been a Jake Lang supporter from day negative one. All right.
Yeah, we're getting
My
him on the
God.
Show this year. We
I
have
need
a
that man on the show.
Boatload of information coming at you in this podcast here, recording on Tuesday, July 18th, 2023. Next week at this very day, Jackson and I will be in New Orleans, Sunbelt Media Day in New Orleans again. We went last year. It was a great time. We're going this year again. We both get 20 minutes or 10 minutes each of just us, Will Hall, Frank Gore Jr., and Jay Stanley. 10 minutes uninterrupted, just us talking with them. Jackson, it's going to be awesome. I'm pumped that you're going to be able to experience Sunbelt Media Day with me this year. Last year, I went to the bathroom when James Madison was speaking because I was like, who cares about James Madison? I'm sorry. I mean, I love the Dukes and everything. I went into the bathroom because I was just like, I'm so tired of listening. Went to the bathroom, went to the stall door. I think I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and I went to the stall and slammed my finger in the stall door. It turned purple, and that was my experience at Sunbelt Media Day last year. So let's hope we don't have any more broken fingers this year, Jackson. But be looking for all of our coverage. In the show, we're going to go over baseball, the kind of in MLB draft, four Southern Miss players were selected in the MLB draft. We're going to talk about three of them have already declared they're going, which is Dustin Dickerson, Tanner Hall, and Justin Storm. Justin Storm just declared that today. Matt Etzel has not yet decided if he is going to sign or not. We will talk about that and what we think he should do. A lot of transfers coming into the baseball program. Great gets. They got one from Valparaiso today, Jackson, that I think is just a solid get. I actually remember this guy, Nolan Tucker, hitting an RBI triple against Southern Miss this season. They played Valparaiso this season. RBI triple on Tanner Hall, actually. And so great get in the infield. They got a BYU shortstop. They got another player who's an outfielder. So got some good bats in there. So we're gonna go through all that. We're going to talk about the 4th Street Player of the Year, which is kind of what we did in between podcasts, right? So we had this huge 32 people qualify for the tournament. We had you as the listener and as the follower on Twitter vote. Jackson, we got over 10,000 votes on the 4th Street Player of the Year, which I think is solid. 10,000 people voted. It all landed with Tanner Hall being named the 4th Street Player of the Year. It was him or Frank Gore Jr., which I think both players deserve to be in the finals. Jackson, just another thing really quickly before I let you go, Jackson. We are going to have an opportunity to talk to Tanner Hall. He's recently been drafted by the Minnesota Twins. He's in Minneapolis now, kind of in his opening debut there, I guess, or rather training camp, all that stuff. We messaged him. Tanner Hall will be on this show eventually to talk about his 4th Street Player of the Year crown. Jackson, I don't really know if it could have gone to anybody else.
I mean, so the thing is, Tanner Hall and Frank Gore Jr. were so similar in the way that they benefited the team. So, for example, whenever the baseball team was struggling, Tanner Hall rarely did. He would put that entire team on his back. If the bats were cold, Tanner Hall was hot. If the bats were hot, Tanner Hall was hotter. And mm-hmm. Frank Gore Jr. was the same, but he did it kind of 2 years in a row. You know, for two straight years, Frank Gore Jr. has had to put that entire football team on his back. You know, I could have seen it going to either. I could have seen it going either way, quite frankly.
Who did you vote for, Jason?
So it was a toss-up. It was a toss-up between Frank Gore Jr. and Tanner Hall.
Yeah.
for like, if you wanted to go for how they benefited the team as a whole, I would say Frank Gore Jr., quite frankly, because of the fact that he was there whenever Southern Miss football was struggling at quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver. I saw him block on a few plays. He played every position. He was lights out. I mean, do you, if I think it was either South Alabama or Louisiana, but a snap was fumbled by the quarterback. Frank Gore Jr. ran, got it, and chucked it 29 yards down to the end zone into the hands of Jason Brownlee. And and so I think that's just indicative of how he has helped the football team these last 2 years. And so I went with him for my vote, but quite frankly, Tanner Hall is more than deserving. And if you want to judge on where the teams were as a result, I would say Tanner Hall wins 100%, but I'm just going off of a basis of like Southern Miss maybe could have got like Southern Miss would have gotten to a regional, definitely not a super regional without Tanner Hall though, and definitely not conference champions.
Yeah, you know, I voted for Tanner Hall just because I think that so my philosophy was, you know, if you take Tanner Hall off the field and Tanner Hall isn't on the roster, how different is the Southern Miss baseball team? You know, I think it's an exponential difference. And I think the same argument could be made for Frank Gore Jr. If you take Frank Gore Jr. off the roster, I mean, what does the football team even look like next year? Right. I mean, last year. And so I think both cases were very, very strong. I think Tanner Hall had just had the edge to me because there wasn't any time where you doubted Tanner Hall's greatness. Not saying you doubt Frank Gore Jr.'s greatness, but the football team doesn't necessarily need Frank Gore Jr. to be 330 yards every single game, right? But for the baseball team, you know, they're going to need, especially in the beginning of the season, they needed Tanner Hall to be great when they weren't great, just as you said. And so I that's why I gave the nod to Tanner, and the fact that Frank Gore Jr. is coming back, I feel like was a big deal, you know, that he could still build on. I mean, when you look at the overall body of work with Frank Gore Jr., I mean, you look at it, the last two games, 329 yards against Rice, and then what it was like 260 against ULM. So that's like 600 yards of, I think, his total, which was, let me pull it up here, but I think it was like most of the yardage he had was in those last two games. So
it's
he was at 13.
Throw the ball the rest of the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But like he, but that's the thing. Like he's not drafted to throw the ball. Right. So Tanner Hall is drafted to throw the ball and he's doing what he's needing to do. So
100%.
So that's why I kind of gave, and like I said, either person could have gotten it. That's why I think both of them deserve to be in the final. I voted for Tanner Hall just for that purpose. But I definitely understand and agree with your argumentation, too, because I think both players are superb. Dustin Dickerson and Justin Storm are your other two semifinalists. I was pretty surprised Justin Storm beat Jason Brownlee, to be honest, as far as a finalist go, as far as a semifinalist go. But, you know, the fans had something to say there. I thought Dustin Dickerson you know, I think him getting to the semifinals made sense. I really feel like for real, if you pull off Dustin Dickerson from that roster last season, I don't know where the baseball team looks, you know, because of what he did in the final few weeks. So it was really fun. I love doing that. I'm looking forward to a whole new year where we can add more nominees to the bracket. We had 32 this year. We're going to probably have 32 next year. And I'm sure you'll see some the same names, but what is it? I think three of the semifinalists won't even be here, right? Because Justin Storm, Dustin Dickerson, and Tanner Hall are all going to the MLB draft. So Frank Gore Jr. is the only returning semifinalist from the bracket. So I think it's going to be fun. I thought it was really good to hear what the fans had to say, Jackson.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Dima and I have said this before, and we'll say it again, and we will say it whenever we see you in person as well, if we ever do. The best part about this job is the conversations we can start. You know, I don't know if there's going to be any other guest hosts or if it's just going to be me and Dima all year, but no matter how much he and I like each other, we're going to get bored of talking just us two. And seeing the conversations we can start on social media or seeing you at games or at tailgates and just kind of hearing what the people who are going to be consuming this media have to say, that's the most important thing. And so I really appreciated the conversation started. Did I agree with all of them? No. I think Jason Brownlee was far underrated. He could have been a contender for player of the year just for the career that he's had at Southern Miss. But, you know, I think everybody got just about what they deserved. It was like so many players, you can't even state what they meant to this team. Like Dustin Dickerson, sure, yeah. His production is incredible. His postseason run with all those freaking homers, like who would have called that Dustin Dickerson would have been our postseason home run leader? I mean, certainly not me. Just because, you know, his whole MO was just hitting it, line drives right in the gap, just great, great pieces of hitting, but he never swung for the fence, and he swung beyond the fence in the postseason. It was incredible to watch. But before we get onto this next section, Dima, I give me five players that you would not be surprised to see compete for 4th Street Player of the Year next year.
Yeah, that's good. I would definitely say, obviously, Frank Gore Jr. I would also say, I think, Esmeralda Figueroa, who's women's soccer, she actually had a good run in the 4th Street Player of the Year. I think the women's soccer is going to be pretty decent this year. So I think that this should, I don't know about to win the whole thing, but I think she'll definitely be on the list next year. I think Austin Crowley for basketball, he's set up for a good season. Obviously, and I think he could be really, really good. And then, you know, for baseball, I think Nick Monastir, man, I really feel like another year under his belt, he could be something else. I think you could throw in a linebacker there, Swayze Bozeman coming back for his 5th year. I think that he, a little frustrated last year, he didn't get to play right that much. And for him to come back after that injury, I feel like he's set up for a really good year. I think the whole defense is. So that would be 5 players I could see being in the conversation next year. I wanted to tell you one thing about this that I love. I love that the fans were able to vote, right? So when I filled out the bracket, I filled it out myself of who I would have picked. And let me just tell you how different it was. So I had Justin Storm losing in the 1st round, right? Neftali Alvarez, to me, was the better option over Justin Storm. And I think that is why I like the fans voting, because it's so much more sometimes than just the numbers or the stats. Justin Storm was just a likable character around the baseball program. He's a team captain. Not saying Neftali Alvarez is not a likable character. I mean, obviously, he's a great guy. One of the greatest men I know. You know, they have Chilean flags in the student section and stuff. So definitely not implying that he's an unlikable character. But when you start comparing these players, people, the fans especially, are going to start going to the people who, you know, because none of them wants to vote for the other player. So they're just going to be like, oh, Justin Storm. That guy is a great guy. Or rather, if they voted for Neftali Alvarez, you know, Neftali Alvarez, look what he did. Look how great he's been. Look how much of an inspiration he's been to people. So my finals were exactly right. I had Frank Gore Jr. versus Tanner Hall in the finals. So that was exactly what happened. I had Austin Crowley in the semifinals. And then I had Jason Brownlee also in the semifinals. So those two were wrong. But, I mean, I think I predicted it pretty well. But I just love the fans voting. Like, I think I voted on, like, the Instagram poll, but I didn't even vote on the Twitter poll because I really wanted just the fans to vote. So I voted on the finals for sure, but nothing really else. Jackson, I love, like you said, when we can have fans give their input. That's why when we send out rapid-fire questions on Twitter or anything – we love to hear your input because we want to give you what you want to hear, right? We don't want to keep trying to come up with podcast topics. We want you to ask us questions, especially for this season. that you will listen to this podcast to get the answer for, right? And because when you ask, like, I know I listen to several football podcasts, and I like to send in questions because I listen to the podcast to see if they answer my question, right? So we love to answer your questions. We love for you to send in questions. We love hearing your votes about why this person should be fourth street player of the year, why this person should be fourth street player of the year, all that stuff. So enough on that. Let's jump into baseball. I think that not a surprise, right, Jackson? Matt Etzel, Dustin Dickerson, Tanner Hall, and Justin Storm all being drafted. I feel like Justin Storm really improved his draft stock towards the end of the season, so not a surprise, especially with the length he is. Tanner Hall, obviously. I'm very, very happy that Dustin Dickerson got drafted. I know he's been working a long time for that. And then Matt Etzel getting, like we all expected, drafted. What's your initial thoughts on those?
My initial thoughts mirror that of my girlfriend as she saw me scrolling Twitter. And she went, "God dang it." And I was like, "What?" And I scroll back up, and she was like, "Dusty really got drafted?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was just because, you know, all of these players, even those that we haven't really known for a long time, you know, Justin Storm kind of had his coming out party against LSU at the near the end of last season. And then Matt Etzel was new this season, they immediately made their presence known. People were making signs for Matt Etzel. People love Justin Storm, and I am one of those. He's just a class act, a fantastic character, a great competitor, and a leader. And Tanner Hall, what can't you say? What can't you say about Tanner Hall? That guy has done so much for this program, and I would not be surprised if the amount of recruits that Southern Miss baseball has gotten is in the double digits, sheerly by getting to watch Tanner Hall alone. Just a fantastic player, a fantastic competitor, an all-around great guy, and somebody that – now, listener, I was informed of this as soon as Dima – like 5 minutes before we started recording – that we were going to be having Tanner Hall on the show. And I just about jumped out of my chair because I can't wait to just tell him to his face, like, "Hey, thank you for what you have done for this program." And that can be said for all four of those guys. Like, thank you for what you have done. Like, you, as a student of the school, like as a student of the school that you also went to, thank you for what you did, because you represented a place that is home to me, that I have a lot of love for. So it's just, I mean, it stinks that we won't be able to see them again in Southern Miss attire playing. But like you said, Matt Etzel has not signed, so we will see where that goes. But I'm just overall very, very happy for them. I'm very happy for them because like both baseball coaches have said, that's the goal. Like, of course, right, we want these guys to get drafted. And it's okay if they get drafted before their eligibility's up, because that's the goal. We want to develop these guys and build them into these players and help fulfill their dreams. Like, that comes above winning to these coaches. It's developing men. It's building men, which is which is what makes Southern Miss baseball so special.
That's exactly right. And you know, I would also add to that when you talk about Southern Miss baseball and it being where it is at now, the standard that the Southern Miss baseball is at now, I feel like Tanner Hall, Dustin Dickerson, Justin Storm, and even Matt Etzel can leave this program knowing that they are the ones who have made Southern Miss baseball where it is now. That their story is written in Southern Miss baseball. And while they could definitely add it to their story, I feel like that, I mean, if I'm Tanner Hall or Dustin Dickerson or Justin Storm, I feel like that I've made my staple. I'm leaving so that people like you just said are saying, "Dag, I wish he would stay." That's how much I've meant to this program. So now it's time for me to go chase my goal, right? And so, you know, I'm happy for them. I don't know, Jackson. Do you think Etzel signs? I mean, I think it's – I don't know. I think that it could go either way, honestly. And I just know that we're going to sit here and talk about this for 5 minutes or so, and we're going to publish this probably tomorrow. And before we publish this, he's going to announce whether or not he's signing or something, and then all this is fruitless. But what do you think? I don't know. I think it's a toss-up.
Selfishly, I hope he just rips that contract up, because what a fun player to watch. I loved watching his game. He's a freak athlete. Like, I'm not going to lie, whenever I first saw him, I was like, okay, we've got a guy with an Amish beard in the middle of center field. Okay. And he ran like lightning. He never really did like he would just kind of grab stuff. I don't know why I'm moving my hands around. You can't see this, listener, but you know, he's just like, he just catches stuff. He makes a very cerebral, very difficult game look easy. And if I can watch him in black and gold for a little while longer, I'm going to say that. I hope he rips it up. Whether he signs, I don't know, because, you know, this is the part of time of negotiating. Like, Tanner Hall signed his contract and it was a little bit lower than the official draft stock said. I don't know if Matt Etzel wants to take a little bit lower than what it's saying, or if he's like, hey, I can play another year, get even better, and get more money as a signing bonus. And Matt Etzel, if you're listening, please do that. You should definitely do that.
Yeah. I think that's right. I would say he should come back. I would think so, because I think you can get – if you come back and have a – you know, you run the risk if you go come back and don't have as great a season and then not get drafted. You know, that's the only thing. And, you know, I always say for college kids, when they see that type of money on the table – that you should take it before it's like a deal or no deal. You ever seen that show with Howie Mandel? Deal or no deal?
Oh yeah. Love that show.
It's like that, you know, and then you open the next box, which would be the 2024 season. And then say you don't have that good of a season, then it's the $1 instead of the $400,000 or whatever it is. But, so I say, you know, I would say I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back, but also wouldn't be surprised if he signed. So I'm kind of in the middle. I think it's a toss up.
Mm-hmm.
But for the baseball, they have been adding a great deal of players. They've added a couple transfers that have come in. One just today, actually, Nolan Tucker from Valparaiso. Like we said, he hit 298 in the batting average with 24 RBIs and 4 home runs. He was the MVC first team second baseman, which I think, Jackson, that's going to be helpful. It's going to answer that question in the infield, whether or not Nick Monastir is going to move to third, or if he's going to play some outfield. I think that was also talked about potentially, if he's going to play some outfield. And then Slade Wilkes coming back was a big deal. I know, obviously, he went undrafted, but you know, you always run the risk. They definitely ran into this last year where you're getting undrafted signed free agents that killed Southern Miss last year as far as their pitching staff. So I think it's a big deal. Slade Wilkes comes back. Like we said, Dustin Dickerson going on. I'm just scrolling down my Twitter feed here to kind of remember. But
we got another Billy from New England. Cannot remember his last name for the life of me, but I know that he's Billy, and he is the third of his name. And he is from Rhode Island. It was great to see. I was watching some of his tape, and good Lord, that guy can hit a baseball.
Billy Butler.
I wanted to say Billy Butler, but I didn't want to like get in trouble for being like, oh, you just came up with the most like Billy sounding name, which he has a very uniquely sounding Billy name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, just a lot of exciting stuff. Like you said, I don't know where Nick Monastir is going. I saw, and I agreed with this. I saw it on Twitter. I could see Nick Monastir going to shortstop and I could see Slade Wilkes going to left field. If Matt Etzel signs, I could see Carson Pato going to center field.
Yeah, Slade played outfield in high school, I believe, and first base, I think. But they're fine at first base with Matthew Russo. You'd think he's just going to kind of fill in there. Graham Crawford's one of your catchers for sure. And then, you know, you kind of, like you said, you kind of shift the outfield. And I've seen Nick it wouldn't be great if Nick Monastery was at shortstop, kind of following in the footsteps of Dusty. Because, I mean, Dustin and him have really, really bonded the past year. We definitely noticed that. So, you know, I'm hearing a lot from fans and stuff like that about next year as far as baseball season kind of being a down year. What do you think the expectation for next season will be? And what do you think it should be?
I think the expectation will be get to the Supers. And I think the expectation should be get to the Supers. Okay. The thing is,
high expectations for
I don't want to diminish the value that is reaching the super regionals in the NCAA men's baseball tournament because it's massive. However, yeah. Southern Miss has kind of established themselves. They have established themselves that, hey, we are good enough to host a super regional 2 years in a row. Now, given they haven't crossed that mountaintop, they haven't summited that mountain yet. But the thing is, the last year was kind of proving that everything everybody was worried about, it's A-okay. Southern Miss is pretty stacked. Southern Miss is stacked all the way around. I think they'll be all right. Because, you know, everybody was like, oh, God, our pitching's going to suck. And, you know, luckily we've got all these veteran guys that are going to hit 80 home runs for us. And it was the opposite. I was like, hey, these young guys, these freshmen, these true freshmen, these sophomores, these red shirts, they're carving up the competition. And I think that with this seamless transition from Coach Barry to Coach Oz, and with these additions and with the guys that are staying and how people are going to develop, like, I don't think enough people are talking about the fact that Carson Pato could have the best season of his career and the best season of anybody on the team, of anybody on the order. Because, I mean, we saw his freshman year, the power that he had. I mean, the walk-off run rule grand slam as a leadoff hitter against Rice, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Rice.
That's wild. And that was as a freshman. And, you know, he didn't have as good of a season his freshman year, but that's kind of expected when you watch things happen. But I think Carson Pato is going to come back better than ever. Big Tuna is going to really, really – I think he'll have a great season. And I think Southern Miss will have a great season. Obviously, it'll probably take a little bit of time to get used to. I think this is what we as people that watch should expect, is that if there's a big turnover for Southern Miss, don't expect to suck. Don't raise the white flag. Don't like already act like the season's over. Just realize there's going to be some growing pains, but they're going to get over that hump. Because, I mean, we didn't even really get to see JB Middleton, and I was a big advocate for him after watching his first couple of outings. And, dude, I've been looking at some of his stuff in the summer leagues. Dima, his fastball, I think, has hit 97. His fastball's hit 97. And the movement on his other pitches has been immaculate. And the summer league progress from Nick Monastery pitching, winning by getting the tying run and then pitching that same inning. Yeah. What a dog. And then Matthew Russo has been lighting it up. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to look forward to. And given it's going to feel weird watching a game without Scott Barry as the skipper. And it's going to feel weird seeing somebody at third base that isn't our favorite third baseman, Danny Lynch. You know, it's going to be weird. But it was weird last year being like, who the heck is this Cross Sibley guy? And then he comes in and has one of the better performances out of anybody. Yeah. I mean, remember with his 35-1 strikeout to walk ratio? Yeah. That was like no one knew this guy before. He was a redshirt freshman, you know, and he comes in, lights out, electric, and he's going to be a superstar. He's one of my contenders already for Sun Belt Player of the Year. I can see him being a superstar. So the expectation will probably be supers, or at least being competitive in a regional. But I think Southern Miss is, like, with this team coming up next year, they can easily get to the supers, and that's what it should be.
Yeah. You know, I think the expectation is going to be, from the fans at least, to get to Omaha, which I think is a ridiculous expectation. I thought it was ridiculous last year. My expectation on what I would put on them, I would say, you got to get to the postseason, right? You got to make the postseason. Then you shoot your shot. It's kind of like what I said last year. Just make the postseason, shoot your shot. And that's what they did. They got to the postseason. They had to go through Auburn, and they got to the Super Regional. And once you get in the postseason, Jackson, you can win a regional with this roster, right? Especially with how significantly better the pitching staff will be from this year, past year to next year. So that's what I say. I say it should be, the expectation is you make it to the postseason, then you shoot your shot. But you know, you're going to see fans, the Southern Miss fans that they are, they're so sweet and so loving, always expect to be in Nebraska. So we're going to take a drop on baseball talk, for now. We'll talk about it with breaking news, but we're not just going to sit and home on it, because it's now time to get into the meat, which is football season right around the corner. This is what we're going to be talking about now for a good while. Okay, so obviously, since we have football season coming up, we're going to take a break. And on the flip side of that, we're going to talk about why Will Hall's third year in the program is going to be different. So we'll be right back on 4th Street. Thanks for listening. Back here on 4th Street Sports Show with Jackson. Let's get into football. Southern Miss, 7-6 last season. You know, I remember when we were on the show last year, we were predicting the season, and former co-host Charlie, Austin and Jackson, everybody listening to this show know them. We all said that the gauntlet of Louisiana, Georgia State, Coastal Carolina, and South Alabama, you know, those four games in a row, they got to get one of those, we all thought, to get into a bowl game. And they got one of them with the win at Louisiana. Jackson, I feel like we're at a very similar spot, you know, this year when you're looking at the schedule with the at South Alabama, at App State, the ULM game, at Louisiana, and then the Troy game, another significant gauntlet for Southern Miss, who, in a lot of people's opinion, is shaping up to be better, obviously, than last year. I think this is the first year that Will Hall is going to be able to have a full rotation on his definitely his offensive line, but also his defensive line. You know, you're probably going to have Kristen Booth, Jalen Williams, and Quentin Bivens there on the defensive line. You know, Jalen Williams is your nose tackle, so he's obviously, as a junior, Quentin Bivens as a senior, and then Kristen Booth on that defensive end spot. Jackson, why is this year going to be different?
So this year is going to be different because Will Hall has gotten he's gotten the players into his system. And you can see this just by recruiting. Like, I know that this season hasn't even started, but Dima, I'm excited for the 2024 season. Southern Miss is ranked 54th nationally in their 2024 recruiting class and first place in the Sun Belt. And for those of you who may be fans of other Group of Five conferences that are watching, why? And number two, they would also be first place in CUSA by a long shot and in the AAC by a great, great bit. So this recruiting class is just kind of a testament to the amount of faith that high school kids have that this season will be great. I mean, if you think about it, in Will Hall's first year, how many quarterbacks did we cycle through, man? It was just upsetting stuff just to watch so many guys get hurt, you know, Dima? And then, you know, the Superback system came in the 9th game, or no, the 10th game of the year. The Superback system came in. And Southern Miss almost beat an undefeated UTSA, and it was only because the superback system hadn't been perfected. You know what I mean? Because it was just Frank Gore Jr. But then the next game, Southern Miss, they got that superback system going. And that's just kind of a testament to how intelligent Will Hall is and how well he can scheme an offense. He can scheme quarterback play without quarterback play. And that was last year. Last year's quarterback play wasn't ideal. We were stricken by injuries. We saw true freshmen try to go out there with no previous real collegiate experience. Just not an ideal situation to throw any player in. And Southern Miss still got to a bowl game. And now I'm thinking, you know, you've got guys like Jakarius Kasten. You've got guys like Ty Mims. And now you've got a quarterback battle between Zach Wilkie, Clemson transfer Billy Wiles, and Houston transfer Holman Edwards. So no matter who's taking the snap, I'm fairly confident that Southern Miss could get a win against just about any team. I think this, like, the reason why this year is different is because there is depth, real depth at every position. Everybody's talked about Frank Gore Jr., but you've got so many other fantastic running backs. And, you know, I haven't even heard Zon Diaz's name be used, but he's an elusive running back that he was stricken by injury last year. And he wasn't really able to play, but, you know, his name hasn't even been mentioned among the slew of fantastic running backs that Southern Miss has. So I'm confident that this year will be different, and I'm confident that Southern Miss could, and now don't look at me weird because I know that you're about to, I'm confident that the Southern Miss has the full capability of winning 8 games this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think they'll definitely compete in probably 11 out of the 12 games. I'd say they compete very, very, very well. In. You know, I think you, I mean, you can make that argument. You know, you beat Alcorn State, you win against Tulane, you beat Arkansas State, you beat Texas State. There's already 4 of your 8 right there. You feel like you have a good shot at beating Old Dominion on homecoming, right? So that's 5. South Alabama, App State, I mean, 2 tough ones. You feel like you could might grab one of them, I guess. And then the ULM game, you feel like you could win that. And then you probably lose to Mississippi State. At Louisiana is going to be tough. And then beat Troy at home. I mean, you could get there, you know, if it's a great season. I'd say that's about their ceiling. 8-4, probably. Might could be 9. Might could be 9 wins. Might be their ceiling. But I feel like the problem with Southern Miss to me this season is like their ceiling, you could put it 9-10 wins or whatever. But I just feel like the floor is kind of high, right? Like, I feel like that, it, you know, the way that the Sun Belt competition is, they could lose games that you think they should be able to win. And I know that obviously last year, it's so hard. It's just so hard to compare. I feel like we're just at such a disadvantage just because of the quarterback play. But I really feel like this year, you really feel good about the quarterback play, whether it's Holman Edwards, whether it's Billy Wiles, whether it's Zach Wilkie or Jake Lang or whoever's taking the snaps. Even Kyle McCormick is in the line, you know. So
Kyle McCormick led one of the best drives, one of the most successful drives in the spring game. His play is great. Yeah, I think give Kyle McCormick like 1, maybe 2 more years, he's going to be fantastic. I can very much see Kyle McCormick being a superstar by the time that like the next 4th Street crew runs around with you in your senior year and whoever comes to replace me.
Yeah. And one thing I really like about this schedule, one thing I hated about last year's schedule was the Liberty Miami start, right? So you got to come in the Liberty game and have a really good quarterback play, which they didn't get that game. And then you go on the road to play Miami. You know, this year you get Alcorn State week 1. I mean, obviously, I don't think, you know, when we get to that week, we're going to predict Southern Miss to win pretty handily. But you can run first quarter. You know, I hope they run first quarter Holman Edwards, second quarter Billy Wiles, whatever it is. You know, you can kind of run your quarterback sets to see kind of what you feel works best with the offense in a real live game. And then Florida State, pick your guy,
you know, pick your guy and take your shot. And, you know, Florida State's supposed to be terrific this year. And, you know, I feel like you take your shot against Florida State, obviously, with one guy. You don't try to do the one quarter, one guy, two quarter. But I feel like the Alcorn State game, you can kind of do that. But obviously, fall camp is starting very soon for Southern Miss football. So we're going to be out there hopefully every single day and giving you everything you need to know about the quarterback competition, because it matters, Jackson. It really does. The quarterback matters to this team. Obviously, it does. And, you know, I'm really excited about the run game. I really am. I feel like the run game this year could be just absolutely insane. So 87 career starts for the returning offensive lineman, 87. So returning starts. That is a veteran offensive line that can rotate three units. That's what Will Hall kept saying that in spring training. Three units. Because, you know, it used to be like 2 years ago, they lose an offensive lineman. You throw in a guy who's a freshman who's not been playing that much. But they got three full substitutions. So the depth of this team is so much different than Will Hall has had. And that's why – that's, to me, just like you said, I agree with you 100%. That was my answer. That's why I think Will Hall's third year is going to be different. You have third-year talent in Frank Gore Jr., which I think Frank Gore Jr. is set up to have potentially – we're going to get into this later, but potentially the greatest season in a Southern Miss football running back history. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm calling – the statue's going to be built in January, Dima. Like, I mean, exactly what you said. And I know that this is an audio platform, but as Dima was talking and just kind of reiterating these points that we've seen and that I've read, I just can't help but grin. I'm smiling from ear to ear just because there is so much to look forward to about this team. Like, I know that we are a good deal out from football season, but not really. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting just to look forward. It's like, oh, we're going to get to see these questions answered real soon. We're going to get to watch these three full units. Because, I mean, we saw this as like I think year three is going to be a bigger version of what we saw last fall. Last fall was a microcosm of Will Hall's career, you know? Specifically the offensive line. The offensive line play wasn't that great at the start of the year. And then the final two games that Southern Miss played, the offensive line play was lights out. I mean, against ULM, the offensive line was incredible, which is saying something because it was raining that game, right?
Yeah.
It was raining. And then during that bowl game, that offensive line went up against a pretty tough Rice D-line. And Frank Gore Jr., with the help of the offensive line, and he even said it in his ESPN interview, it was all these guys. And those guys let Frank Gore Jr. make Rice's entire team look silly. This is shaping up to be a very fun year.
Yeah, and moving over to the defensive side of the ball with Dan O'Brien coming in, being first-year defensive coordinator, man, this is a veteran defense. I mean, you got Christian Booth, like I said a second ago, Jalen Williams, Quentin Bivens is probably your starting defensive lineman. But then, man, your linebackers, Avery Hobbs able to decide to come back as a senior, Swayze Bozeman coming back as a senior, Hayes Maples back from injury as a junior, and then you're expecting TQ Newsome to come to be even better than he was last season. Then you got Jay Jones there at star, like they like to say. Brendan Tolles is back. Michael Caraway Jr. is back. Dylan Lawrence, which is the transfer they got in from Mississippi State, he's expected to be 6'2", 185 in that corner spot. And then Jay Stanley, obviously, is your free safety back. You just like the, as you hear my dog bark in the background, but you just like to hear when you have a veteran defense and something last year that we kept saying over and over again, the defense is setting up the offense. When you have a veteran defense, but you also have an offense that is looking on paper that might be the best offense in the 3 years that Will Hall has had, provided injury, obviously, but
I mean, I feel like you could make an argument this team could compete for a Sun Belt title.
Yeah, no, I was talking with my dad about this because like, you know, a lot of these predictors use just pure statistics. They're like, okay, well, this was last year, so what can they do this year? And those statistics probably saw the passing yards, and they probably saw like how the offensive line struggled at the beginning of the season. Like, oh yeah, they're going to be all right. No, Southern Miss could play a team at home for the Sun Belt Conference like championship for football. Like this is that is fully within the realm of possibility. Like it's exciting. Like you said, like as you were just listing off all those players on defense. Good Lord. If I was a quarterback, I'd just hand the ball to Swayze Bozeman and just say, dog, like I'm not gonna try. We have a terrifying defense that we will be able to watch. Southern Miss, and like, you know, obviously it sucks that Coach Armstrong is gone, but Dan O'Brien, Will Hall has sung his praises through the roof. He's a cerebral guy. I listened to his interview on the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and he was a really, really smart guy, knows his history, knows his roots, and he knows what he's going to be doing. So again, yeah. I can't say it enough. Very exciting.
I mean, I think if you take the front seven of the defense and compare it with all the other Sun Belt teams, I think it's the best front seven in the league, which says 100%. A lot. It really does. I mean, I think just the – you look at this, junior, junior, senior, 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 junior, senior. I mean, that is a veteran front seven, and not to mention that, but the depth that they have behind those players is something that Will Hall hasn't had. This is definitely Will Hall's best team. I think it's just unfortunate that they drew the non-conference they did. The non-conference schedule is brutal, man. At Florida State, at Mississippi State, Tulane, all three teams. Obviously, Florida State and Tulane are not going to be easy games. Alcorn State, you feel like you win that one. At Mississippi State, I think that'll be an interesting game. I really do. I feel like the Mississippi State game might get interesting. We're not going to set any predictions on here. We're going to save that. Do you think – we're going to do the same thing we did for baseball season. What should the expectation be for the football team this year versus what will the expectation be? It's two separate things. What will be? What will it be from the fans, and what should it be from us?
So the expectation will be bowl game and win five of your six games at home. That's going to be the expectation from fans. What it should be is 8-4. Because I think their ceiling is 10-2. I genuinely do. And given, it's going to take a lot, but it's a high ceiling. It's going to take some good play and maybe a little ladder to reach the ceiling. But, you know, 8-4 is a realistic expectation, especially from what Dima's saying. You know, D-line, that wins championships. Southern Miss could win the Sun Belt Championship if they have good play, if they use this incredible talent that they have, and they pair it with the incredible coaching that they have. So the expectation will be bowl game, 5-1 record at home. We do have... 6-7 missed games at home, correct, Dima?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just making sure, because I remember, I think there was like one weird year where Southern Miss didn't. But, you know, 5-1 record at home. The fans will probably expect undefeated at home, which, I mean, it's not a bad expectation. I could see it happening. It's just you have Tulane and you have Troy at home, so I'm going to put like people will expect Southern Miss to lose at least one of those games, but they're capable of winning both. Expectation will be 5-1, 6-0 at home, bowl game. What it should be, 8-4, conference championship, cool bowl game. Send me to the Bahamas.
I don't know if Southern. I think the season is going to be. you know, I think what happens is they get to the October 17th matchup at South Alabama, right? You could say they get their best case scenario 5-1, right? I don't think they beat Florida State. I mean, that's a obviously not. But I say best case scenario is 5-1. You might be sitting there at 4-2. But, you know, South Alabama with 18, you know, they have 9 returning starters on offense. They have 9 returning starters on defense. This is a team who was like 3 plays from going 12-0 last season. I think South Alabama is the best team in the Sun Belt. When the media poll comes out or whatever, I'm definitely going to vote them winning the Sun Belt. But, I think the season for Southern Miss could be defined by that game at South Alabama on October 17th. I think that if they were to get over this hump of the South Alabama curse, as fans like to say it, you know, I feel like they could they'd control their own destiny at that point if they were able to win that game. But I think the expectation will be to win a bowl game, like it was last year. And I didn't agree with that. I didn't agree with the expectation to be winning a bowl game last season. I thought that the expectation was just to see improvement. And we saw a lot of improvement, obviously. But I think the expectation this year will be to win another bowl game and at least compete in all of the games, I think. Outside of Florida State and Mississippi State, you know, you can make an argument for Mississippi State, but I think that if they show exactly what happened last year, honestly, like a couple plays, they have a very different record last year outside of the Georgia State game, right? So, but what the expectation should be, I think, is a different story. I think the expectation should be, and this is very simple, have a quarterback who plays 12 games. And if that is not met this year, burn the program down because the football gods are so against Nemskin. But no, you know, I think expectation should be 7 wins. 7 wins should be the expectation. Jackson, the over under on Southern Miss right now for wins is 5.5. Are you betting the over or under?
I'm putting mortgage money on the over. 5.5. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so it's either they get to a bowl game or they don't, I guess.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Shame on you, Las Vegas. I cannot wait to take your money. Four Street Sports Show is not endorsed gambling.
I'm so looking forward to Prince Pick'em this year because it was so fun last year. And I love talking about the spread and stuff. And I'm looking forward to your takes on, like, national college football, you know?
Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm gonna cut, like, you're gonna hate it because we're gonna do Prince Pick'em, and I'm gonna cut a WWE promo for every single pick that I make. But no, you know, five wins, that's ridiculous, man. Yeah. I'm putting a lot of it on the over. I actually might place a bet. Again, 4th Street Sports Show does not endorse gambling, but if you are a gambling person, six wins, with the money. Talent, yeah, it's free money. They're just tossing it away. Like, look, man, we Las Vegas, we've got too much money. We just built a couple $1 billion for a freaking orb in the middle of our city. Can you just take it? And that's why they set it at this. So I would bet a great deal of money on that. Southern Miss has the potential to do a whole heck of a lot better than 5 wins. And I think it's just kind of silly.
Yeah, I would bet the over as well. Not getting into our schedule predictions, but I would definitely bet the over. So this is kind of the thought for future podcasts. We're going to have what we're going to call market down podcasts. So we're going to take a topic and we're going to talk about it for like 40 minutes and then mark down our answer to that topic. So say, will Frank Gore Jr. break the single season rushing yards at Southern Miss? You know, something like that. Who will be the starting quarterback week 8, you know, not week 1, but week 8, who will be the starting quarterback week 8, who will win the quarterback battle basically. Cause whoever starts week 1 won the battle in fall camp, but it could still change, you know? So, and then we'll end the market downs the week of football season, just when it starts, and give our market down for how many wins will Southern Miss have and go through the schedule. And then at the end of the season, we'll come back to the market downs and see who is right and all that stuff. who's going to lead Southern Miss in receiving yards, who's going to lead in sacks, whatever it is, you know. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be in New Orleans next week for Sunbelt Media Day. We will have a we'll have a lot of stuff on our YouTube. We'll have stories out. We'll try to get some stories out this week. And we'll do a podcast one of the days from New Orleans, live in New Orleans. We'll do a podcast live in New Orleans. We may do a Twitter space. I don't know yet. We're kind of going to decide. We're also going to have instant reaction video as well. So a lot of cool things coming next week. We're right around the corner, Jackson, for football season. Last question for you. What is the uniform combo that Southern Miss should wear against Alcorn State week one?
You know, I think it would be really neat. I don't know if this is possible. I think it'd be really neat. So this is just going to be Jackson's fun answer. Take game one to commemorate and to honor Scott Barry. Okay? Uniform combos, baseball pinstripes. I don't know if it's possible. That would look that would either look really bad or really good. I think it'd be cool. Or just like have some uni combo or have something on the uniform to commemorate baseball just for game one. I think that'd be really neat. Obviously, I feel like at some point in the football season, we're going to see Scott Barry go on the field at a home game. But, you know, or just let Scott Barry pick the uniform combo. I just think it'd be really neat to have like a baseball-centric uniform. Just like, hey, thanks for like, thanks for kind of carrying Southern Miss Athletics these last few years. We will take some weight off you as like the football message. Like, I don't know. I think that'd be cool, but you know, silly Jackson answer. Realistically, what do you think, Dima?
I say all black. I always say all black for week one. I thought the gold last year was awful. But I'm very opinionated when it comes to uniforms. I hate when they wear the white helmets with the black shirt and white pants. I think that looks awful. If you're going to wear white helmets, you got to wear it with a white shirt, in my opinion. Like, wear the white helmets on the road, not at home, unless they're going to wear all black under it. I don't like the white, black, white. That just looks terrible. But I hope they wear their all blacks for week one, because I think it's like, it's black, you know, it's awesome. So, all right. That's all for now. We will come back. Hopefully we'll have a guest appearance with Tanner Hall soon. We also have another guest coming on the show. We will not reveal that yet. I kind of want that to be a surprise. It is a very big guest. It might be, Jackson, the biggest guest we've gotten on 4th Street in the time I've been here, for sure.
From what you told me, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which is wild. I kind of thought he was pulling my leg whenever he told me, because, you know, he said, hey, we're having Tanner Hall on the show. And I'm like, yeah, we are. Heck yeah. And he's like, oh, also, guess who we're also having on the show. And then he shows me who. And I'm like, okay, come on. You're just messing with me, man.
Great things to come. His name rhymes with a certain type of metal. So that's my hint at what it could be. So I think it's probably the biggest guest we've had on, in my opinion. I mean, we've had on Will Hall, which was awesome. That was a big, really big guest. We've had on, you know, obviously Scott Barry, which is an incredible guest. But as far as like national guests that's outside of Southern Miss, I would say definitely this has to be the biggest name we've gotten. So looking forward to it. We will reveal it when we confirm when it will happen. So we're not sure exactly when it will happen. He did say he is coming on the show. So
God, that is still so crazy to me, Dima. How you pull that off? Amazing.
Dude, I just said I'm just gonna email him to see what happens. And he said he's coming. So look forward to it. We will come back with another podcast soon. But for now, Jackson, anything else to add?
To the top, always.
Yes, sir. So we will see you in New Orleans next week for Sunbelt Media Day. For now, that's Jackson Kennedy. I'm Dima Mixon. Thanks for listening. That was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to 4th Street Sports Show. As you heard in the beginning of this podcast, we are currently editing and creating a new outro and intro. But thank you for listening. We'll have more podcasts out soon. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.